Hello, everyone, and a good Wednesday to you. Todd Zwillick with you, filling in for Celeste Headlee. John Hockenberry is with me, but is in Seattle at the studios of KUOW. Well, stand your ground laws have come under intense scrutiny since the death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin in Florida. And part of the controversy has surrounded a group called the American Legislative Exchange Council. That's ALEC, the nonprofit group that's pushed stand your ground laws throughout the country. Now, in the past 2 weeks, major companies like Coca-Cola, Kraft, the software firm Intuit, announced they would be ending their membership in ALEC. Well, now ALEC is disbanding the part of their group they call the Public Safety and Elections Task Force. This was the arm that wrote model legislation in states all across the country for things like stand your ground laws. But not only that, controversial voter ID laws passed in several states. Republicans say these protect the integrity of voting. Democrats say they're naked disenfranchisement of poor citizens, highly partisan. Well, in a statement, ALEC said it would be reinvesting its resources that went into social issues to put into economic issues that directly affect their industries. Well, Adam Sorensen is associate editor at Time Magazine. He's been reporting on ALEC, their activities behind the scenes, what they were doing before and what they're not doing now. He's in the studio with me now. Adam, good morning. I called you ALEC. Your name is Adam.
Happens
sorry.
All the time.
Yeah, well, shouldn't identify you correctly. Well, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So how significant a role was ALEC playing for stand your ground laws? Their name has been brought up, especially in political circles, as the rest of the country wonders about stand your ground laws. Not a lot of people were familiar that some of the most familiar corporate names like Coca-Cola and Kraft and Walmart, dozens of others, were actually the driving force in many states behind these laws. How did that happen?
Sure. So basically what ALEC does is it's a research service for conservative legislatures. So when there's an issue that they care about, that they want to work on, they can draft model legislation. They can get it lawyered up and get it ready to go in a number of different places. So in 2005, when after Florida passed its Stand Your Ground law, which ALEC did not play a role in, they created a model bill loosely based on that, you know, taking some things from it, and ended up introducing things like it based on the castle doctrine, you know, your home is your castle, but also other general self-defense gun laws, working with the NRA and other conservative
in
groups.
In other states.
Yes,
right.
And introduced it in other states. So basically, you know, after Florida passed theirs, it then showed up in 24 other states in the following years.
Okay, so it makes a lot of sense, for instance, that Coke and Walmart, Kraft Foods, other companies would want to have an active role in state laws that affect their businesses. If I'm Coke, I don't want higher taxes on soda, for instance. That makes sense. If you're Walmart, you don't want higher taxes on the things that you sell. Stand Your Ground laws, the Castle Doctrine, and the law that allowed George Zimmerman to not be arrested after the shooting of Trayvon Martin doesn't really compute in my mind. What does Coke care? What does Kraft care? Certainly, they wound up on the wrong side of this issue. Why were they involved in the first place?
That's exactly right. And if you look back at the statements that Coca-Cola made and other companies made in the last 2 weeks, what they said were, we do care about industry-specific issues, taxes and regulation, but, you know, just because we are members of this very broad umbrella group, that, you know, it doesn't mean that we support everything that we do. Even the companies that didn't end up withdrawing from ALEC, a company like Walmart, made this distinction between things that affect their business and other issues. So I think ALEC was definitely responding to the feedback from these corporations in the last few weeks.
And yet we can probably say with confidence that it was the controversy, the national firestorm over the Trayvon Martin shooting, that led to these companies heading for the exits, led to ALEC disbanding this social issues part of its business. I mean, had that shooting not become a major media issue, this would still be going on.
I think that's tough to say. You know, it definitely was a factor late in the game. But going back to last December, groups like Color of Change, which is a liberal advocacy organization focusing on issues for Black Americans, they were really concerned by the spread of voter ID laws that you mentioned earlier. You know, about 13 states, I believe, legislatures passed voter ID laws in 2011 after big Republican takeovers of state houses. They didn't end up in law everywhere. Democratic governors vetoed them. So they began conversations, these liberal advocacy groups began conversations with companies like Coke going back to last year, you know, educating them about what they felt about these laws and whether they wanted to be associated with them. So, you know, it's definitely been an ongoing conversation, and it does go back before Trayvon Martin, but certainly that shooting did provide a final push.
And so what you're saying also, corollary to that, is that the kinds of model bills with stand your ground laws that got spread from Florida through ALEC were also spread through politically polarizing issues like voter ID laws. That it's happened through the same process, through ALEC's model legislation.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can trace voter ID laws back further than when ALEC was working on them. I believe they passed in five states in 2003. But it kind of slowed to a trickle. And in 2009, this specific task force that was just disbanded began drafting model bills based on voter ID. And then, you know, the same year they did that, Utah passed their voter ID law. The next year you had, I believe, Idaho and Oklahoma pass theirs. And in 2011, you just saw this huge explosion where, you had these voter ID laws ready to go, just reheated in all these different legislatures.
You know, Adam Sorensen of Time Magazine, yesterday on the show we talked about political polarization in consumers' everyday lives, sort of the idea that, you know, some businesses are politically siloed themselves. Conservatives go to Cracker Barrel, liberals to Church's Chicken, for instance, just one example, not to single those companies out. This suggests that the corporate backers of the things that we consume every day are political as well, but in a way that we didn't realize, not just for their own interests, but in ways that affect things that don't necessarily affect their businesses. So not just going to Cracker Barrel, but the things you buy in the grocery store every day are pretty politicized.
I think that's true, you know, but these companies, their brands are worth billions of dollars in some cases, especially Coca-Cola, and they are aware of how they look in the public. You know, Coca-Cola does voter registration drives and things like that. And this is an issue they care about. And I think that's why they were able to respond in the way they did.
So what's ALEC going to do now that they're not doing voter ID and stand your ground laws?
I think, you know, they say they're refocusing on their economic issues, which would be taxes and regulation. And, you know, they've always done a lot of that. So I don't think it's a stretch to say they'll continue doing what they're doing.
Right. And it would certainly make sense for them to do that. Why would Coca-Cola want beverage taxes? And that's certainly an issue. And that would make perfect sense to a lot of people. Adam Sorensen is associate editor at Time Magazine. And he edits part of Time.com called Swampland, right? That's your blog.
Absolutely.
A worthy news blog where many of my colleagues work, and a worthy line of journalism. Adam Sorensen from Time Magazine, we appreciate you joining us on
Thanks
the issue
about so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.